In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear friends, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Believers sometimes talk to themselves. We give ourselves pep talks, and that's what some of the Psalms do. We look in and say, what's not happening here? Well, I'm not praising God enough. Not with enough enthusiasm, not with enough joy, whatever. So we tell ourselves what God tells us. Praise me. And we say, praise the Lord. Why? Because he's not second rate. He's not only kind of good at what he does. He excels at being God. He excels at blessing his people. He excels at keeping the world spinning on its axis, keeping the stars spread out in the sky, keeping order in what would otherwise be a chaotic and catastrophic end to everything. And so, for as long as we live, we praise the Lord. But sometimes we get caught up in other things, don't we? Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. Some of you are more politically inclined than others. I know some of your politics, at least in part, but I really don't care. I've seen excesses on both sides. I've seen deep and abiding lack of something on both sides. We've seen people in just about every office in the land, from alderman up to president of the United States, and each and every one of them may have done some good, but each and every one of them is still a sinner, and each and every one of them at one time or another has looked out for number one rather than for the constituents. Even as we get older, we start learning the rest of the story about our big heroes. Maybe in the back of our minds we sort of realized it, but we never thought when we were little kids probably that Washington and Jefferson and the others owned slaves. And owning slaves meant sometimes harsh treatment of them, of splitting and dividing families. Abraham Lincoln violated the U.S. Constitution in holding the Union together. Most everybody liked Ike, but Ike had some problems too. The boy hero, JFK, far from perfect. And it goes right up to now. Every once in a while, a president does something that gets enough of Congress upset that they try to get him out. So far, that's never happened. But now that we have such good mass media, we can all see what a circus our nation's capital can be. It doesn't matter who the ringmaster is. Not enough elephants and monkeys and too darn many clowns, right? And these are the people who want us to put our trust in them. We have a saying in secular life that we say quite ironically or sarcastically, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And how often has that help been kind of a muddled mess? They build levees or dams where they shouldn't and don't where they should. They put together programs that sound good on paper, but then become enormous wastes of time, of money, and worst of all, of humanity. We wage a war on drugs, and the drugs don't have to fight back. They just keep winning. God says, the psalmist tells us, don't trust them. Oh, give a certain amount of trust and confidence in those who lead you. Follow them. Listen to them. Do what you're commanded when it doesn't violate God's word. But don't think that they're going to save you from anything that's truly important. Especially from the destruction that awaits everyone who doesn't love and trust in God above all things. Who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Trust not in princes, nor potentates, nor priests, nor prophets. Trust only in the Lord. When they speak the word of the Lord, whether it's people within the church or people in society at large, and when they act according to his statutes, follow them gladly. If they sin, then we have the opportunity to rebuke, whether as individuals or as a church, we can do that. And if they command us to do something that's against God's word, then we actively resist. Of course, we can wrestle with exactly what God wants in certain circumstances, right? And there are passionate, committed Christians who are passionately committed right-wing conservatives and passionately committed left-wing liberals. And some of it's that they interpret God's word differently, and some of it is that they let God's word shine especially bright on the things that are already near and dear to their own hearts. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as we aren't letting that lead ahead of what God wants, which is Himself. Leading us to realize that we are all sinners. Left wing, right wing, middle of the road. Everyone across the political spectrum is a sinner. Every leader, every follower, every judge, a magistrate, every mayor, our presidents, our representatives, our senators, every last one of them is one of us. A sinner. And every one of them, like each one of us, needs the same thing, which is God's forgiveness. We need the one whose way John prepared. We need the one Isaiah prophesies. The one who will make the wrong right. The one who will bring water to the desert. The pictures that we have of Carmel and Sharon, the mountains that as the water vapor came up, it would fall down, and they were all green and beautiful with flowers and grass and lush terrain. And the people in the desert down below would always think, boy, I wish we could live up there. Well, if we can't, that's okay, because God brings it down to us. God brings us the lush, full nature of His love poured out in Jesus. That's the one we can trust in. Trust not in princes, but in a prince, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of life, the King of Kings. Trust in Jesus. John wasn't sure. John had proclaimed Him. John had gotten then imprisoned because along with his proclamation of the Christ, he also stood up and rebuked the political leadership. And he told Herod and his new wife that they were sinning against God and against man by their shameful relationship. Or Herod had basically pulled a wife swap with his brother. And the whole family was intermarried. Sisters and cousins becoming husbands and wives. And John said, that's wrong. And Herod's wife complained, and John got thrown in prison. And we know that later, not much after this probably, he was beheaded. Because he stood up against the prince. He stood up against the secular authority and said, that is shameful, that is wrong, that should not be. But he didn't lead a riot against it, and when he was put in prison, he accepted the judgment of the state. Because he knew he wasn't under God's judgment. But while there, he got to thinking probably, did I back the right horse? I know that I proclaimed the coming one. God gave me His Spirit to do that. I know that Jesus came and was baptized. I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and a light on Him, but still. And so He sends His disciples to ask Jesus, are You really the one? Are You really the Prince who will not let me down? The one I can always depend on? And Jesus doesn't tell them, go back to John and say, yeah, I'm Him. He says, what do you see? What is happening around you? What is happening around them? The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. If Jesus is building to a crescendo, more important even than the dead being raised is the fact that the poor at heart, the poor spirit, not just the poor financially, have good news given to them. This world is not all there is. The grave is not where you will end up. John, locked in prison and knowing that his end may soon come, can trust that this is not it. That there is hope and certainty for life after this life. Real life, true and abundant life, life without end. And you're not going to get that from any prince, any political leader. Your doctor can't give it to you. Your lawyer can't give it to you. Your congressman and your president can't give it to you. Nobody can give it to you except the Lord God. And it's only given to you by faith in Jesus. by trusting that He is the one who came and forgives sins. He is the one who started showing what the reversal of sin and the brokenness of this world would be like. All of those people who came to Jesus needing something came because they were born as sinners in a sin-filled world. God may not have afflicted any of them as direct judgment on specific sins, but every one of them could get sick, damaged, wounded, and would finally die because all of them were born with the stain of sin. But Jesus undoes that. Broken, wounded, damaged bodies, minds, and spirits all find healing in Jesus. No other prince is going to give that to you. No other prince tells you, I will never leave you or forsake you. Well, somebody like Korea's dictators might tell you something like that, but they can't back that up. They will die. And after a while, people will pretty much forget about them. But you, in Christ, will not die. In baptism, you have already died, and now you have life. Life abundant, life without end. Don't trust anything except the one who can give you everything. Don't trust your heart above God's word. Don't trust your own perceptions above God's word. Trust nothing above God's word that says, I am the Lord, and I want you to be mine forever. Believe in my son Jesus and be saved. And as we trust in him, we find that all of our other promises from him are given yes and amen by his love. Prisoners set free, the blind eyes open, lifted up those who are bowed down, those who are weak and those who are stumbling and those who are falling apart have strength and purpose and life everlasting in Jesus. God, grant that you trust in no prince but Jesus, that you place your full confidence in him, and that he gives you a heart of discernment that you can decide about all the other would-be princes who are out there, all of the other leaders, and that you can vote the scriptures, and you can vote your conscience, and you can live wherever God places you, knowing that you will live forever in him. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus. Amen.